70-year-old man, over the period of 30 years, systematically deceived some of the richest, most educated people in the United States. Recently, it was uncovered and called a Ponzi scheme, where people literally lost all of their wealth, all of their livelihood. If one imperfect man can do that to some of the cream of society, what do you think one superhuman, wicked spirit creature that's been alive for millennia could do to you and me? The Bible says in 1 John 5:19 that the whole world lies under the power of the wicked one because he has been craftily deceiving mankind. Excuse me. In fact, Paul said in 1 Corinthians 2, verse 12, there's a spirit of rebellion, or a spirit that envelops the whole of the world that no human can avoid. Yes, Satan has completely infected the whole world. Now, how does he do it? Open your Bibles to 2 Corinthians 4 with me, and notice what he has to change in you and me. In 2 Corinthians 4 and verse 4, it says, among whom the God of this system of things has what? He has blinded the minds. So Satan has to get us to stop thinking Jehovah's way and to start thinking differently, and that's how he can deceive us. He knows that if we can think differently, our actions then will take us in a completely different direction. Now, this is not something we're not unfamiliar with. Many of you friends perhaps have hunted or fished over the years, and you realize that an animal sees things every day and gets used to them, and for you to trap that animal or fish, you need to convince it that something is real. And yet it's a decoy. It's not real. But in the mind of that animal, it has to be convinced to go a completely different path. In the same way, Satan acts today is to place things before us that seem real, but are in fact illusions. Paul also said that the devil keeps transforming himself into an angel of light. We do not want to be deceived by the illusions. If we are unable to identify Satan's crafty acts, we are at greater risk of being adversely affected by the spirit of the world. So who is Satan trying specifically to deceive? What did Peter say in 1 Peter 5 verse 8? Let's look at that together. In the scripture, it likens Satan to a wild animal. Perhaps you remember this illustration. 1 Peter 5 verse 8. But who is he after? Peter says, keep your senses, be watchful. Your adversary, the devil, walks about like a roaring lion, seeking to devour the young, the foolish, the inexperienced, those who weren't smart enough to see it coming. No, it says someone. That could be me, that could be you, that could be any one of us that Satan is out to destroy by his craftiness. Never think, friends, that any one of us cannot be reached by Satan's crafty acts. Go back to 2 Corinthians 11, please, and let's see the strategy that he used craftily with Eve. 2 Corinthians 11. The Apostle Paul mentions here a different word. Do you have that? 2 Corinthians 11, 3. Paul says, but I am afraid that somehow as the serpent seduced Eve by its cunning, your minds might be corrupted away from the sincerity and chastity of the Jew of Christ. Seduced. Normally we think of immorality when we think of seduction. But according to Webster's Third International New Dictionary, seduce means to persuade into disobedience. Eve was persuaded to leave a course that Jehovah set for her and go onto a completely different course. Are we being seduced by the spirit of the world today? Are we being seduced into thinking that we're missing out on a good life because we are Jehovah's Witnesses and we're not doing what people say is normal? We're not living a normal life. That method of seduction Satan is using to make us feel like we're missing something. Or in the case of Eve, Eve imagined that her future happiness depended on something that Jehovah disapproved of. Are we being seduced to think that things outside of Jehovah's organization are good for us? People might say, you're really weird. So the temptation might be for us to go outside and prove that we're not weird and go as close as we can to the world to prove that we are just normal people. Some have done that to their peril or drawn away from the combination. How dangerous to be seduced by Satan by that line of reasoning. The key to success, friends, another post-it note, if you will, for your mirror. We must strive to see the devil's crafty acts as Jehovah sees them. We must strive to see the devil's crafty acts as Jehovah sees them. Well, how does he see them? Well, the theme for this talk comes from this scripture now we're going to look at in Ephesians 6 and verse 11. Please open there with me. And there's a word that Paul uses here that we don't use in everyday conversation very often. Ephesians 6 verse 11, what does Paul tell us to do to resist the evil influence of this world and its second power? Verse 11 says, put on the complete suit of armor from God, that you may be able to stand firm against the machinations of the devil. We don't use that word very often, machinations, do we? If you have the reference Bible there, there's a star there. If you go down to the bottom of the page, instead of machinations, another rendition is crafty acts. See, Satan knows that the frontal attack, as it were, he has to get sneaky and crafty to deceive us and seduce us. It's going to be blindsided. It's going to come from this direction or that direction. It's not going to be easy to see before us. And you notice it's plural. It's crafty acts, not one specific act. The devil and the demons, friends, closely observe the behavior of each one of us. Why? To detect our weakest spot. Then they exploit any spiritual weakness we may have. Now, when my grandparents used to play cards, my granddad always won. They married 60 years ahead. And my granddad would play a card, and he could read the facial expression of my grandmother. Then he'd play another card, and he could read her face. And at the end of the game, she said, you crafty old devil. In the same way, Satan can play a card in front of us, watch our reactions. If there's no reaction, he's going to try something else to deceive us. That's why Paul said there, we need to stand firm against the crafty acts of the devil. Thankfully, through Jehovah and his loving organization, we are made aware of the crafty acts of Satan and how we can protect ourselves now, fortify ourselves, so that we are not overreached by Satan's craftiness. So what can you and I identify that could easily ensnare us and endanger our spirituality? Do we know our own weaknesses? Do we know which card Satan is playing in front of us right now? When faced with opportunities or decisions, we need to ask ourselves, is it a really good thing for me? Or could it become a crafty act of Satan? Well, this symposium, the rest of the afternoon now, is designed to help us train our perceptive power that Paul spoke about in Hebrews 5:14. Why? Then we can more clearly discern what's right and wrong. We're going to look specifically how Satan has used crafty acts in the field of technology, in the field of entertainment and recreation, and in the field of education. So let's give our attention to Brother Mike Bain now as he answers the question, have you identified Satan's crafty acts in the field of technology?
The hammer worker used a decoy to attract a particular type of wasp. The hammer worker's flower has a lower lip that closely resembles a female wasp. So the male wasp, he's flying along, and he looks down, and he sees what appears to be, to him, true love. So he flies down, he grabs hold of that decoy, but his momentum carries him up and over into the sticky pollen sacs of that flower. It isn't until he releases that decoy that he's able to get away. Well, like the hammer orchid, Satan used the decoys to try to entice and enslave us. How does he do that? One way is in the field of technology. He tried to get us to believe that by means of technology, we can achieve happiness, that we can save time. One recent television commercial shows a family in disarray. Nobody wants to be together until the family buys the latest, most expensive, state-of-the-art gadget. In the next scene, you see the family sitting together. They're happy. They want to be together. And the commercial ends with the phrase, "You happy." Again, the idea is that if we buy technology, we're going to be happy. We're going to save time. Of course, that doesn't mean that it's wrong to use technology. Jehovah's people have become very adept at using technology to advance the worldwide preaching and disciple-making work. The 2008 yearbook commented on the organization's use of the website watchtower.org and mentioned that every day 60,000 people are visiting that website and benefiting from that. So it's not the technology itself that's evil, but rather how people use that technology. Think about the hammer orchid and the wasp. The wasp isn't the brightest insect in the world because once it gets released, it flies off, it sees another flower, it falls for that same decoy, gets released, and off it goes and falls for the same decoy again. All day long it happens. In fact, the only one that benefits from that relationship is the flower, because it's using that wasp to pollinate itself. Well, have we become like that wasp? Are we falling for the same decoy over and over again? Are there some uses of technology that for us could become a potential crafty act of Satan? Notice how this can happen if we turn our Bibles to 1 John chapter 2 and verse 16. 1 John chapter 2, verse 16. It says, because everything in the world, the desire of the flesh and the desire of the eyes, the showy display of one's means of life, does not originate with the Father, but originates with the world. Like that wasp, we can become enticed by what we see by our eyes. For some people, it's just the accumulating of technological gadgetry that becomes an obsession for them. It's not only the expense of the item, but it's the time to use the item, the time to learn how to use the item, the time that's needed to be able to download the latest updates, the expense that goes with that. It becomes a decoy because instead of saving time, we become distracted from what's truly important. We're distracted from fully accomplishing the good news. We become like the wasp because now
we're only serving Satan's interest. Notice how easily this can happen in our demonstration. We'll notice that our brother is talking to a salesperson in an electronics store. The salesperson shows our brother the latest state-of-the-art gadget. Take note of what's promised to our brother. Will this become for him one of Satan's crafty acts?
Well, I think I've made up my mind. I'd like to get that one right there.
You know what? That one's going to be okay. I really want to show you something. Take a look at this.
Oh, man. Yeah.
Just came out this week. Oh. You're one of the first in the area to have it.
One of the first?
Oh, yes.
Oh, wow.
It's better, it's faster, it has increased memory, and fully upgradable.
Wow. I knew this one was coming out, but I didn't know what day it was. This is awesome.
You don't have to wait any longer.
Wow. You know what? It looks difficult to use. I'm not sure I have the time to learn about this.
It's so easy to use. It'll walk you through all its processes, and to help, it comes with a great instruction manual.
Oh.
That right there. That's going to explain everything else to you. You'll understand this completely when you're done reading the manual. And then if you have any further questions, we have our class on Thursday from 6 to 8. You come, I'll be there. Ask me any other questions. I'll make sure you understand the device completely.
You're going to be there?
I'll be there on Thursday, 6 to 8.
6 to 8, Thursday night?
Thursday night.
Okay.
You have kids, right?
I do.
Oh, they're going to love this. Oh. They can play games, watch videos, listen to music. They're going to think you're the greatest.
I like how that sounds.
Just imagine when your friends walk in. They look in your living room and they see that sitting on the desk. They are going to be so envious of you.
Maybe a little bit.
You know what, though? This is an investment. Oh, yeah. It's going to simplify your life.
Okay.
You need to take care of it.
Oh, yeah.
We offer some really good protection plans. You're going to want to look into those.
Okay.
And what's your favorite color?
Probably green.
I thought you were going to say green. See that one there?
Yeah.
That only comes in black.
Oh.
This model here, 8 great colors, and green is one of them.
Oh,
and so do I. I haven't even unpacked it yet.
You haven't? Oh, me some.
Yeah.
Does it still have the,
Oh, yeah.
Can it,
Oh, it can do that quicker and better than any of these other ones. You know what? Let me get the green model for you. Let me get our information on the protection.
Yeah, I'm not sure if we...
Oh, no, no, this is going to be good. And while I'm gone, take a look at all of these great accessories it comes with. You've probably seen a lot of people around town with that one there.
Yeah, I like those, that's true.
And guess what? Every one of them is on sale.
On sale today?
You picked such a good time to buy.
What a great day.
Oh, it is. Best day.
Wow.
You know what? Let me get the green model, the protection plans, and we'll get you checked out and home learning your new device. I'll be right back.
You know what? I should probably talk to my wife. It's in my hands. Finally, it's out. I knew it was coming. I just didn't know when. How much does this cost? I don't know. It feels like my knees are shaking. I'm so excited. That cost that price again. Whoa! Oh, he's good. I didn't even think about price at all. How am I going to pay for that? I don't have money like that. I can charge it. I can just charge it. No, no, that's not a good idea. Not a good idea. But, you know what? This does have that memory and more upgrades. Plus, he said, it would simplify my life. Yeah, it's almost like he knew I was a witness. We're always told, simplify your lives. Eventually, once I get used to using it, this simple manual.
Who am I kidding? You know, I have a similar model right now that works just fine. There's nothing wrong with it. I have that memory in that brain, so, what will I sacrifice? Time, money, to learn this device? A class on a Thursday night? To learn a new captain? That's not simplifying. If you're missing congregation Bible study, theocratic ministry school, service meeting. Wow. What else might I sacrifice? Just learning it or using the new features of this device. Service time? Family worship? No, I can't sacrifice that. About service. It's just not simplifying. No. What about all these upgrades in the memory he talked about? The updates? The warranty? That's not free. All these accessories. I definitely need one of those. Two of those. I don't even know adaptive, but I think I'd like at least one of those. Give this a real serious, prayerful thought. Is this a good thing for me? Or is it just one of Satan's crafty acts? I think it is.
Did you notice the promise that was made to our brother? If he invested more time, it was going to save him time. What else did he have to consider? Not only the initial investment of the item, but also the amount of time that was going to take to learn the device and to use the device. What effect was this going to have on his spiritual routine? Again, in some forms of technology, the benefits of purchasing an item may be well worth the investment. Early Christians made good use of new technology in their day. One development they made use of was the codex or the leaf book. This replaced the cumbersome scrolls. So now when they wanted to look at the scripture, all they had to do was turn a page. It saved time. So for us, there may be some benefits of buying some forms of technology, maybe worth the investment. But there's a need for caution. There are serious dangers that we need to weigh. Satan, in his wicked craftiness, has exploited human weaknesses by means of technology that makes certain forms of badness now readily available to us. Is it possible that unscrupulous people could twist an otherwise valuable tool into a potential decoy for satanic conduct? Without a doubt, consider some examples of how this can happen. Think about the printing presses that could be used to, say, print Bibles. Could they also be used to print pornography? Think of the days of Noah. What was the downfall for powerful angels? It was voyeurism. That's the practice of observing sordid details. Those angels were peeping Toms. Television programs today, such as reality shows and soap operas, can be a catalyst for us to get involved in voyeurism, to be observing sordid details, to become incensed. A peeping Tom. Think about game shows. They can incite some viewers towards consumerism and greed. And what about computer games? Some games lure players to participate in simulated violence and other unwholesome activities. You might think, come on, is that really a decoy? Well, how would Jehovah view us if we were to role play a character in a game that is violent? Or involving other unwholesome activities. How would Jehovah view us? Notice the answer to that in turn to Psalm 11 in verse 5. Psalm 11, verse 5. It says, Jehovah himself examines the righteous one as well as the wicked one, and anyone loving violence, his soul certainly hates. So if we were to role-play in a computer game a violent character, that would be with Jehovah's disapproval. Really, that game has become for us a decoy for satanic conduct. Another area of concern is internet social sites and chat rooms. Sometimes you might reason, well, these are safe. My site is password protected. Or I have it restricted only to my friends or fellow believers. And yet, for many, this has become a decoy for satanic conduct. Internet social sites have become breeding grounds for bad association with strangers or with individuals who claim to be fellow believers, individuals who try to lure vulnerable ones into wrongdoing. Finally, another potential decoy for satanic conduct can be something that most of us have maybe in our pocket right now, or in our purse, a cell phone, a great time-saving device. But it also can be used to access the internet and download pornography and view it at any time. Or it can be used for sexting, taking with a camera phone lewd, inappropriate pictures and then sending them to someone else. All of these are ways that unscrupulous people can twist an otherwise valuable tool into a decoy for satanic conduct. The field of technology does have a useful place for us. It provides us the ability to preach the good news around the world quickly and effectively. But remember the hammer orchid? Every hammer orchid uses the same decoy repeatedly. You would think the wasp would know that, but no, he falls for that decoy every time. Like the hammer orchid, Satan used that field of technology as a decoy for us repeatedly. His purpose is he is so obsessed and distracted with the use of technology that we're not fully pursuing the good news. We do not want to be like that. Keep technology in its place. Do not allow it to become for you a crafty act of the devil. The next part of our symposium is entitled Stand Firm Against the Devil's Crafty Acts in the Field of Entertainment and Recreation. Please give your attention to Brother Steinmore in the Rice Lake Congregation.
How many of you have ever said, I need a break. I need to relax. We all have. Because all of us need relief from the anxiety, stress, and pressures of daily life. But herein lies another potential crafty act or evil trick of Satan the devil. And that is to let the world define for us what it means to relax. So many in society today have become obsessed with entertainment, hobbies, recreation, pursuing them virtually every waking moment that they're not at work. Jam-packed weekends full of fun, expensive vacations they can't afford, all in the name of diversion or supposed relaxation. The question is, could we perhaps be allowing this thinking of the world or spirit of the world to affect our view of relaxation? The thinking that my free time is for leisure only, don't encroach on my time. Or when we go on vacation, forget our Christian standards. But you might say, wait a minute. You have to understand, I am stressed, and I just need to get away from it all. Ponder this question. Do you think it's possible to find true refreshment from the stresses of life and yet not take a break from our theocratic activities? Let's let Jesus answer that question in Matthew chapter 11, verses 28 and 29. Matthew 11, verses 28 and 29. Jesus said, come to me, all you who are toiling and loaded down, and I will refresh you.
take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am mild-tempered and lowly in heart, and you will find refreshment for your souls. Did you notice where Jesus said refreshment would come from? Did he indicate that it would be from getting away from it all? Well, did you notice in verse 29 he said, take my yoke upon you. Well, now how is that refreshing, since a yoke is a bar that goes across one's shoulders made to carry a heavy load? Well, we get an indication when we look at verse 28. He was talking to all you who are toiling and loaded down. In other words, Jesus was acknowledging that we're already carrying a yoke, a heavy one, the burdens of this old wicked system of things that we have to live in. So Jesus is inviting us to trade that yoke for his yoke of discipleship. But it would be a lighter one. It would actually be refreshing to us. Think about it. What are the burdens that you really feel you need to get away from? Isn't it working all day around those with filthy minds and foul mouths, paying the bills, cleaning the house, fixing the car, shopping for groceries? But our theocratic activities, not so. Learning about Jehovah and our precious hope for the future through personal study, that's refreshing to us, isn't it? Associating with our brothers and sisters at the meetings and assemblies like this, that's refreshing to us. Sharing the good news with others in the ministry, watching their eyes light up as they learn who Jehovah is and develop a relationship with him, that's refreshing to us. So the key is to be able to identify and separate out what is truly stressful in our lives. Yes, while we are conscious of the need for relaxation, we recognize that genuine refreshment comes from knowing Jehovah, knowing the truth, and staying active in kingdom service. Let's look in for a moment on a couple who need relief from their hectic schedule. And let's watch as they plan for their family vacation.
Oh, good, you're home. Look, it finally came. It's the brochure for our all-inclusive family vacation.
It's about time. This job has got me stressed out. It's about time we start planning for our vacation.
Oh, I know, and it looks so beautiful. Now, it is a little more expensive than what we thought, but that's okay, because they just increased the limit on our credit card. I worked it all out. If you just charge it all to the card now, then when we get back, you'll have to work some nights, and we'll both have to work Saturdays for, about 6 months or so. But we should be able to pay it off by then.
Whoa! Did you look at all the things we can do? We definitely have to sign up for this ultimate vacation package.
Oh, that ultimate package looks so awesome. It is a whole lot more expensive than the basic package, though. And that's an awful lot of activities to do. Do you think we can fit them all in?
Of course we will. Look, some of these tours lead right from the resort. A lot of these activities we can do while we're at the beach. The rest of the stuff we can even do at night. There's going to be plenty of time.
That's true. And some of those activities are things that I have always wanted to do.
Me too.
You do have to pay extra for a lot of them, though. It just keeps getting more expensive. And remember, this is a vacation. We'll have to sleep at some point.
I know. So we're way over budget. Don't worry about that right now. When we get back from vacation, we'll worry about making the money and dressing up. We have to take advantage of the time while we're on vacation.
That's true. You're right. Oh, I am so excited. I'm not going to be able to concentrate on anything until we get back from this vacation. You know what? I'm going to start making a list right now of the things that we need to take. Oh! Should we take some literature with us for informal witnessing? What about going to meetings?
Are you serious? I have to take a vacation from everything. Come on, we deserve this.
You're right. We do deserve this. And this is going to be the perfect way to just get away from it all.
Then it's settled. Why don't you get on the phone right now and make your reservations?
Thank you so much, babe. You are just the best.
Now, let's look in on another couple who also need rest from their hectic schedule. But let's see how their vacation plans differ.
Hi, How was work?
Yeah, it was another long day.
Yeah, I know. We've been so busy lately. We haven't even had a chance to relax. We really need a break.
Yes, I know. I was just thinking we really need to plan our family vacation for this year. You know, they just read the letter in a meeting the other day about doing unassigned territory. What do you think about doing that for our family vacation?
That sounds wonderful. I was thinking the same thing when you read the letter. You know, when the group that went last year got back, they were so upbuilt and encouraged by the whole experience. I remember feeling a little envious that we didn't go with. And it's always been something I've wanted to do.
You know, me too. You know, a vacation like this will give us the chance to get to know our brothers and sisters a little bit more. You know, we'll meet the new friends in the congregations near the territory we'll be working. You know, no doubt we'll reap some good spiritual benefits from a vacation like this.
Yeah, last year the group couldn't stop talking about how much fun they had together and also about all the good experiences that they had in the ministry.
You know, this will be great. This vacation, it's going to fit our budget this year. You know, we'll be driving down there, we'll stay with the brothers and sisters in the area. You know, maybe afterwards we can even take a little bit of time. You know, I think we could take a couple days and go camping. There's some mountains nearby there. You know, let's grab the map and see if we can find any good campsites in the area.
Sounds good. Yeah, look, the mountains are on our way back. And look right here, there's a campsite near our lake. That would be a good end to a wonderful vacation.
Yeah, you know, I could work out my tan.
Yeah. I can't wait. This sounds wonderful. It'll be just what we need.
You know, let's start making plans right away for this and see if we can encourage any of the other friends in the congregation to go with us.
That sounds good. I have a few people I have in mind.
Which family are you? Which vacation sounds truly refreshing to you? We need to beware the thinking, I need to get away from everything. The Satan would like to make us believe that relief from our stresses and pressures comes from tuning out or stepping away from our service to Jehovah. And at the same time, creating perhaps more stress than existed before we even left for vacation or supposed relaxation. How insidious. How crafty. Instead, look at the example that Jesus set for us in Mark chapter 6. It's Mark, the 6th chapter. And look at verses 31 through 34. Jesus said to them, come, you yourselves privately into a lonely place. Rest up a bit. For there were many coming and going, and they had no leisure time even to eat a meal. So off they went in a boat for a lonely place to themselves. But people saw them coming and going, and many got to know it. And from all the cities they ran there together on foot and got ahead of them. Well, on getting out, he saw a great crowd. But he was moved with pity for them, because they were as sheep without a shepherd, and he started to teach them many things. Did you notice? They were tired. Jesus was tired, and he acknowledged that. He said, let's go off to a lonely place and rest up. But the crowds were there. He felt pity for the crowds. He recognized the desperate state they were in, and he acted on that, didn't he? From the heart. He was moved by that, and he used the opportunity to teach them and help them and give them relief. Why? Because that's who Jesus was. It was not as if he was off duty because he was going to a lonely place to rest. Similarly, we are witnesses of Jehovah 24/7. 365 days a year. It is our identity. It is who we are. It's not a job. It's not something we punch in and punch out on a daily basis. The Apostle John devoted some 60 plus years of his life in faithful service to Jehovah. Do you think at the end of his life he felt burdened down from that service to Jehovah? Tired out? Turn with me to 1 John chapter 5. 1 1 John 5th chapter. And let's notice John's words in verse 3. For this is what the love of God means, that we observe his commandments. Notice this. Yet his commandments are not burdensome. No way did John feel that that service to Jehovah was a burden to him. Similarly, may we never, by what we say and by the decisions we make, even when it comes to recreation and entertainment, indicate that our service to Jehovah is a burden. Instead, let us cherish the truth and our precious service to Jehovah. Let's always strive to maintain a wholesome theocratic routine, always looking for ways to help others and bring praise to Jehovah, even while relaxing. Then we can be truly refreshed, not just day to day, but we can look forward to permanent refreshment into all eternity. Now let's give our attention to the final part of our symposium entitled Stand Firm Against the Devil's Crafty Acts in the Field of Education. This will be delivered by Brother Larry Studi from the Iron River Congregation.
Well, have the economic conditions maybe caused you a little stress, a little nervousness? Maybe you're a young one leaving high school and you don't know what to do with your life. How do I provide? Well, of course, I want to have a spiritual life, but how do I accomplish that? You know, as Jehovah's people, we really appreciate education. Education that draws us closer to Jehovah. But you know, Satan likes to cover things up. You know, the word arena really just means sand, because the Romans used to cover the floor of the arena with sand so that everyone wouldn't see the blood that occurred there. Does Satan do that? Well, does he do that with the term higher education? That sounds good, doesn't it? Higher education? Well, what we're talking about is education that requires a course of study in a university or a college, usually a minimum of 4 years and perhaps more. Is that the answer to the situation? Or is there another spiritual education that would be more valuable? Today we'd like to contrast for you the difference between higher education that Satan offers and true higher education that draws us close to Jehovah. Please take your Bibles and turn with me to Isaiah, the 54th chapter. And let's read together verse 13. Now, this is what Jehovah promises in regards to our children. Isaiah 54 and verse 13. Notice it says, and all your sons will be persons taught by Jehovah, and the peace of your sons will be abundant. Now, isn't that what we want for our young sons and daughters? Peace? And they can have it if they are taught by Jehovah. But what can a person expect if he or she pursues higher education solely for the purpose of gaining prestige and wealth? Now, I'd like you to picture a ladder, and the ladders are tall. Now, my father had an old wooden extension ladder, and my mother called it the Widowmaker. Picture that ladder, old, creaky, and tall, going almost straight up. And you see your children, you see your young son or daughter start to climb up, and all of a sudden, you know, that ladder starts to sway back and forth a little bit. You remember those old wooden steps? You hear them, oh, crap, when they step on one of those steps that can give way at any time. You know, isn't that what we're doing when we send our children out into that world in an area where we can't provide them anymore with protection or help? They're going up that ladder, and isn't that what they say? You have to climb the ladder to success? Does anybody ever know where that ladder is going? Where does it go? Success in what? Is it success in Jehovah's organization or success based in Satan's wicked old world? The problems encountered in colleges and universities by students who are away from the loving shelter and protection of their parents
is far different than and more complex than anything that they have encountered so far. Anything in school or high school, we're just stepping this up to a whole different level. You might like to make note of this Watchtower article. It's the October 1st, 2005 Watchtower, and found on page 30. We're going to read what the information encourages us in regards to college education, higher education. It says, of course, immorality, bad behavior, and pressures are by no means limited to college or university campuses. However, many worldly youths view all such things as merely part of the education, and they think nothing of it. Should Christian parents knowingly expose their children to that kind of environment for 4 or perhaps more years? Is the risk involved worth whatever benefit the young ones may receive? And most important, what are the young ones learning about things that they that should come first in their life? Parents must give serious and prayerful consideration to these questions, as well as to the danger of sending their children away to school in another city or another country. But you know, Satan, he's crafty. He's going to throw sand, and he's going to make it appear like something that could work. Let's listen in as this young brother is faced with a challenging situation.
Thanks so much, Steve, for showing up to help us out this evening.
Yeah, I've got a scholarship for 4 years of college, all paid for. I can't believe this is happening to me.
Well, that is something to consider. You know, as I think about it, you're a young man who's been given a set of values. You work hard and you apply yourself, so I'm not surprised that you're offered this scholarship. And I can see that you're excited, and I probably would be too. But Mom and Dad, how are you doing?
Well, we have our concerns. You know, sending him away from home, there's all that bad association.
And you know, he was going to pioneer. Well, I'll still pioneer.
Well, that's a good mindset, and we encourage you to keep thinking along those lines, yeah? And we've been told over and over again that we need to have good spiritual goals, so pioneering is one of the best. But as we think about this, one thing that we can really agree on, we've got different opinions. This type of decision can be very difficult. But we do want Jehovah's thinking on that. You know, after you called me, I was able to get out a letter that I've used many times. It comes from a 2005 Watchtower. And the title of it is, Parents, What Future Do You Want for Your Children? And I'd like to just share a few of the points from here, if I should. Let's start by looking at a scripture, shall we? I encourage you to look up Philippians chapter 3, and we'll read verses 7 and 8. And Zeb, maybe you could read those verses for me. Now this scripture really weighs in a very specific way on the topic that we're discussing today, higher education. And let's think about why that is. This is Paul writing these words. Do you remember anything about his background?
Oh yeah, he had the higher education of the day at the feet of Gamaliel.
That's right. He experienced higher education. So let's notice the comparison that he makes in verses 7 and 8.
Yet what things were gains to me, these I have considered lost on account of the Christ. Why, for that matter, I do indeed also consider all things to be lost on account of the excelling value of the knowledge of Christ Jesus my Lord. On account of him, I have taken the loss of all things, and I consider them as a lot of refuse, that I may gain Christ.
Now, isn't that interesting? Once Paul got the truth, how did he feel about all that other stuff?
Well, he didn't care about them anymore. He considered them a lot of refuse.
That's right. It just didn't matter much anymore. Now, Zeb, as your guidance counselor, your teacher, whoever it is, comes to you and encourages you to take this scholarship, what are the reasons that they give for it?
Well, they want me to get a high-paying job so I can have a lot of money and financial security.
Financial security. Now, that's an interesting statement, isn't it? Do you think that's something we can really find in this whole world?
Look at people's retirement plans. They're gone.
That's right. One thing we can definitely say is that there's no guarantees to this entire process. No guarantee that you'll get your degree, but no guarantee that you'll get a good job. You know, another thing that we want to think about here is we talk about college, the scholarship offered us before you. We talked about how grown-ups feel. What about your classmates? when they talk to you, what is it they're looking forward to doing?
Well, I guess they want to get away from home and, you know, party and have the college experience.
The college experience. That was something this article talked about as well. In fact, there's some quotes in here from a Newsweek magazine. There's a couple of things I circled in here. Do you see what they are?
Yeah, this says binge drinking and hooking up.
Binge drinking. Now, that's defined as drinking solely for the purpose of getting drunk. Hooking up refers to casual sex between acquaintances. It brought out that 60 to 80% of students engage in this kind of activity.
That's really shocking.
Just hard to think of that pressure he's going to be facing there.
Absolutely. So now there's one other thing that I want you to think about. There's a scripture in Ephesians chapter 5, which is 15 and 16, and it says this. Keep strict watch that how you walk is not as unwise but as a wise person. Buy not the opportune time for yourself because the days are wicked. Time. No one wants us to think about time. It's such a precious commodity. And we know that even in high school, there is a lot of demands on your time. And as you go to college, it's only going to be a little bit of work. In fact, let's give you this scenario. Suppose it's final week, and you have to be ready for that final exam. You want to do well because you've got the scholarship, and you're supposed to be preparing for meeting. Which one do you think is going to win out?
I guess studying for the test and winning priorities.
Absolutely.
You didn't have trouble studying the low he had in high school.
And if his grade point average drops below 3.0, he loses the scholarship.
We can see how that pressure can continue to mount, can't we? And as we think about time, Jehovah recognizes things. Think of our new meeting. We know that with the divine meetings, it takes a lot of effort to be prepared for that meeting. And then we've got a family worship night. What is that designed to do?
Yeah, that should unify us as a family and prepare us for decisions just like this.
As I said, Jehovah understands how important it is for us to keep up our spiritual strength through personal study, to keep our faith strong in the difficult last days. Do you think this information will be helpful to you to make your decision?
Absolutely. You know what our next Thursday night family study is going to be about. Thanks, Dean.
Very nice.
Decision to make, no doubt that counsel will help him. But now again, the contrast. Children and their parents can be assured that Jehovah's assured of Jehovah's protection as they seek to fulfill their spiritual goals. Now, Psalms 91:1 is going to help us with that. Please take your Bibles and turn there. Psalms 91 and verse 1. Notice the promise here about an education and relationship with Jehovah. Those who graduate from a university are not assured of finding desired employment. How many do you think that attend college actually end up working in a field related to their major course of study? 60% do not. Now that's the irony, that's the sand that Satan likes to throw in the air. And it's sad to know that some of our brothers and sisters have sacrificed spiritual goals in order to achieve a university degree that they did not need in the first place. That's how Satan works. That's how he deceives us. All of us would like our children to serve Jehovah. And we want to encourage you, young and old, not to pursue your own interests, but pursue those of Jesus Christ. Now, Paul, when speaking to the Philippian congregation about Timothy, had some pretty powerful words to share. Please turn with me to 2 Philippians 2, and we're going to read verses, beginning with verse 20. 2 Philippians 2. I'm sorry, there's no second Philippians. Philippians 2. That was just a test. Notice the respect that Paul showed for Timothy. In verse 1 he says, "For I have no one else of a disposition like his who will genuinely care for the things pertaining to you. For all the others
are seeking their own interests, not those of Christ Jesus. Wouldn't it be wonderful for others to speak this way of your children, that they seek not their interests, but those of the Christ? Let all of us be determined to do that. Kick away the sand, and you'll see Satan's crafty acts. Be faithful to Jehovah and show him that you are trusting in his direction.
Thank you, brothers. May each of us apply this direction in our personal and family life. Now, please stand and join in singing Psalm number 19, Joyful All Day Long, built around the scripture text in Psalm 32, verse 11. After the song, you may be standing for some announcements. That's Psalm number 19.